Beto Martinez joins the show now. Welcome, Beto.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. You're part of Brownout. In fact, you're one of the founding members of Brownout, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
How did Brownout get going? How did that all happen?
Yeah, so Brownout got together around 2003. We were all members of another band called Grupo Fantasma, which is more kind of a Latin band. And I guess I should take it back a little further. Just before we put Grupo Fantasma together in 2000, we all kind of played together in a couple different bands, but would sometimes join forces as this sort of funk party band for just certain occasions. And really had a lot of fun playing that type of music. In 2000, we started this band, Grupo Fantasma, which was more straight-ahead Latin stuff, from cumbia to salsa and stuff. And that band quickly got very busy, and we started touring a whole bunch and really just devoting the majority of our time to that. So a few years down the road, after doing that for a bit, we decided that we missed playing, you know, funk and Latin funk, if you will. So we decided to just put a project together. It was many of the same dudes. We decided to get this project together just to play some of our favorite songs from, you know, stuff like the JBs and Mandrill. And that was in 2003, like I said. And we started doing shows here and there, basically in the off times when Grupo Fantasma wasn't touring. And it went on like that for about 5 years till we put out our first record in 2008 and then really started putting more time into it.
Uh-huh. Is Grupo Fantasma still touring and recording?
Yes, actually. We don't tour as much as we used to, mainly because people are involved in so many other projects at this point. You know, Grupo Fantasma is nearly 20 years old now. But we are actually just wrapping a brand new record that we'll have out early next year.
Ooh, that's good news. I remember Grupo Fantasma when it first hit KDNK. Everybody jumped all over it. Really good stuff. And it was the same thing with Brownout. That first one that we got by you guys, I think, was probably Aquilas y Cobras, 2009.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking because you're about to visit our valley. You're playing the Belly Up on Saturday night, and you're touring behind the release of a brand new album called Fear of a Brown Planet, which is loosely based on a lot of Public Enemy music. What attracted you to Public Enemy, and what is it about their music that made you sit up and go, we need to do that?
Well, we're all fans, obviously, but this record was actually sort of a commission from Fat Beats Records, which is a record label that put it out. They have a history of doing some records, notably one with L. Michael's Affair some years back, where they had them do an instrumental record of a version of Wu-Tang's Enter the 36 Chambers. So they did that record in their style instrumentally. and like I said, they have a history of doing that. So they approached us. We were on tour, actually, with another project that we recently did, Brownout Presents Brown Sabbath. And funnily enough, we were sort of starting to wind down the whole Brown Sabbath thing. That was sort of an unexpected success for us. Was supposed to be a one-off show. Ended up, we did two records, and we ended up touring it for about 3 years. But just as we were kind of getting ready to put that to bed, we had just finished working on an EP called Over the Covers, which was a not so subtle kind of jab at doing the whole covers thing with the Sabbath. But right as we were doing that, we're on one of our last tours with Brown Sabbath. We get approached by this record label, Fat Beats, in L.A. at the show we did there at the Roxy. And they approached us with this idea of doing this record of Public Enemy instrumentals in our style and just interpreting them. And it really sounded like a lot of fun, like something we couldn't pass up. It was a good challenge, so we decided to do it.
Well, what specifically about Public Enemy's music attracted you as a Latin funk band?
Yeah, so if you break down the music, you know, Public Enemy, those songs and the way they were put together production-wise, it's just super dense. I mean, it's samples on top of samples, and that was sort of them pushing the technology that they had at the time, both technically and creatively. And as a band, we kind of had to break down what those individual samples were. And ultimately, they come down to music that inspired us from the beginning, which is, you know, James Brown, the JBs, Kool and the Gang, Mandrill, just that whole range of like 60s and 70s funk that we're huge fans of and that have always been an inspiration to us. So although the challenge to put together was ultimately recreating music that we love.
Well, there's no precious little vocals on Fear of a Brown Planet. There's no rapping. So I'm wondering how you channeled the rage and the political viewpoint of Public Enemy into funk instrumentals. How did you even think of that, or were you approaching it all from a technical standpoint, as you just mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's there, I think. With the original Public Enemy material, yes, it's driven by the lyric, and they're definitely making strong and powerful statements, which are totally relevant today. We didn't have the lyric to get behind, but I think the music, in a lot of ways, as frantic and kind of kinetic that it is, still can kind of get that sentiment across. And while we didn't particularly set out to make any particular statements like that, you know, I think that the title alone in this day and age speaks for itself, and it's if it gets anybody to think or starts any sort of conversations regarding, you know, present day politics or sort of the things we have going on in our society, then we're all for that. But really, we were inspired by the music, and we just tried to recreate the feeling there that those original records brought.
Well, I'm curious how you turned, for instance, all of that dense sampling into a horn chart. Did that happen right away? Did it unspool itself in the studio? How did that whole process work?
Yeah, so it was a little different for each song. I mean, some of the tunes actually, you know, had horns in there that they were able to pull out and make arrangements out of. Others, we kind of had to add stuff to it. And we have a arranger and trombone player, Mark Speedy Gonzalez, who's just super skilled and super talented at being able to do stuff like that. For some of those songs, because we didn't have a vocal and we intended on playing these things live, you know, we had to make them a little more interesting. Sometimes it's just a groove that's locked in and it goes on for a while. So you got to add some elements. So we did take some liberties and added some melodic elements with horns, that we felt would help propel the song in a live setting and kind of keep people's attention. Some of them were breaking them down to the original samples and more referencing the source material, you know, like not exactly the Public Enemy track, but what they sampled, and then working off of those and pulling those references.
Public Enemy comes from the 1980s, early 90s, up until the early 2000s. Back then, do you remember the first time you heard Public Enemy, and what was the feeling for you? What was it that struck you?
Yeah, so I was actually, in the early 90s, I was super into metal. I was a big metalhead, so I was not too fond at the time, I guess, of hip hop. I was aware of it, but was just not that interested. One of the first times that I heard Public Enemy was when they collaborated with Anthrax, with the metal band Anthrax, and did Bring the Noise. And I just thought that was super exciting. It was super awesome. It was a great mix of styles, a great mix of bands. And that kind of turned me on to a whole lot of other music. That was just a great track, you know, and it was kind of the best of both worlds for me.
Interesting. I think it was He Got Game that got me into Public Enemy, and what a great reworking they did of For What It's Worth. That's so classic.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to me that you said you started off as a metalhead because, of course, one of your previous albums, which you mentioned earlier, was Brown Sabbath. How about that? I think a lot of people widened their eyes when they saw that, and then even more so when they heard it. Do you still play songs from that album?
We do. It's kind of its own show at this point. We do Brown Sabbath as an exclusive sort of show. We actually just did that last night in Seattle. We're sort of at this point right now where we're wearing, you know, kind of different hats depending on where we're going and what the market sort of is asking for. We are touring the Fear of a Brown Planet record, and that's what we will be doing in Aspen. But there were a couple shows on this run that were Brown Sabbath. And every once in a while we might throw in a tune or two from that. But yeah, it's definitely its own kind of standalone show at this point. Alex Marrero, who does vocals he came into the band for the Brown Sabbath project, and he's a vocalist for that, but now he's in Brownout proper, and he really commits to that show, and it really becomes about that. So It is kind of its own thing.
So I guess next you'll be redoing Pink Floyd?
As Brown Floyd, yeah.
Brown Floyd. That's pretty funny.
No, yeah, I think it's important to sort of explain, you know, that we've been around for 15 years. We have four records of original material. We kind of got into the Brown Sabbath thing, and like I said earlier, it really met with some success that we weren't expecting. So we ended up doing it for a lot longer than we thought. And we've gained a lot of new fans from it, but we released an EP after those two records of original material before we did this Fear of a Brown Planet. And we've actually just wrapped up a record. We just finished mixing it, produced by Steve Berlin of Los Lobos. That's going to be all brand new original material, that will be coming out next year.
Huh. Will you always be an instrumental band, Beto?
No, actually, with the addition of Alex Marrero, like I said, he's singing lead with us now.
Oh.
And we have incorporated some songs that feature that on this tour. But this new record, I think, will be something new for everyone as we showcase lead vocals for the first time with Brownout.
So maybe delving back a little bit more into the Mexican heritage of music, or is it totally modern?
You know, it's a mix of a lot of things. So it's pretty modern, but you know, we draw heavily on our influences. So I don't know. I guess we'll just have to see.
Okay. Your band is a big band. How many? 9 members in your band?
Yes, we are 9 members. We're actually touring with 10 now because we have a very good friend of ours and collaborator, Peter Stopshinsky, on keys, who is facilitating a lot of the, you know, organ and synth work for the Brown Planet stuff.
Talk a little bit about your band. Do they all come from the Grupo Fantasma days, or did some of them come in later than that?
Most of them do. So, like, our core horn section and rhythm section, for the most part, are all from Grupo Fantasma. we have Adrian Quesada, who's one of the co-founders with myself, and Greg Gonzalez, who plays bass. Adrian Quesada was also a co-founder of Grupo Fantasma, but he left Grupo Fantasma about 5 years ago now. So he's actually not in Fantasma. He's one of the few. I'm trying to think who else. Obviously, Peter, who was touring with us on keys, he's not really a permanent member of either band, but he's helping us out for this tour. And Alex Marrero has never been in Grupo Fantasma, but he's in Brownout now. So, okay. So I guess for the most part, like 8 out of the 9.
That's a daunting thing to take 10 people out on the road. It's like a logistical challenge every single day. Or is it? Is it easy? You probably have it down by now.
Well, yeah, we've been doing it for a long time. Like I said, I mean, considering our work with Grupo Fantasma, we've been on the road for almost 20 years at this point. It's definitely challenging, and a lot of that has to do with logistics and sort of the financial aspect of it all. It costs a lot of money to keep a big band on the road, but you know, we make it work, and it's worth it, I think, for the fans and for ourselves to really be able to get the sound that we want to get. You know, this is the way that we do it. It's the way we know how to do it. So that's what we're doing.
Well, Beto Martinez, I want to thank you so much for joining us for a few minutes talking about Brownout. You have a lot of people positively drooling over your Saturday night visit to our valley. So it's going to be fun. We'll look forward to seeing you.
Thank you very much. We are super excited to get out there, and we look forward to the show.
All right, Beto. Thank you so much.
Thank you.